Many of you know that my wife and I took a 5-year stint out to Colorado, and in that 5 years, we moved 7 times, including the move to come here. So we got kind of good at it, not necessarily a skill I want to get good at. That being said, every time we moved, we did end up managed to break something, and I like to think that it's a we there, not a me, but sometimes it was just being clumsy, sometimes it was an accident. Sometimes it was like, oh no, the thing that neither of us really liked fell in the garbage. Oops. And then sometimes, let's call it hubris happened. Sometimes it was my pride thinking that I can carry the thing that I probably shouldn't carry by myself. Our last move from Colorado to Minnesota, there was a lot happening, and so I felt like, oh, I have to take on more of it to make this more efficient, to just make it happen, to hurry the process along. So I felt like I had to carry things by myself. Why? Because part of it was efficiency. Part of it was not wanting to bother other people. Part of it was thinking I can handle it on my own. And if I'm honest, part of it was pride. I didn't want to admit that I needed help, or even that I didn't even know how to ask for it. Whatever the reason, it led me to carry this like large TV stand, table, console thing. It wasn't super heavy. Like, I could carry it, but it was long and clunky and just hard to manage. So there I am trying to carry it and load it into the U-Haul, and I'm getting tired, and it slips, and I drop it. It falls, and it breaks. I was carrying something that I was never meant to carry by myself. I thought I could handle it, and I think a lot of us know that experience. A lot of us carry things that we're not meant to carry. It might not be physical. Maybe it's emotional, or mental, or spiritual. And eventually it makes us weary. Jesus speaks to that. Our text this morning is on page 816. It's Matthew 11, 20 through 30. I'll give you a minute to get there. Starting in verse 20, then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We start with an invitation. An invitation to come. And the thing with invitations is we have the responsibility to respond to them. We can either reject them or we can accept them. Our responses, and we see both of those responses here. Verses 20 through 24 tell about these cities that have decided to reject Jesus. They have rejected the invitation. These are the cities that Jesus has been spending time in. He's been doing these miracles. He's been teaching in them. They have seen Jesus firsthand. They have seen the power of God among them, and they have chosen to reject Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with him. Verse 25, Jesus labels them the wise and the understanding, people who believe they can carry their lives on their own. Why? Maybe because they don't want a burden. Maybe because it feels efficient. Maybe because they think they can handle it. But if we're honest, part of it is pride. We don't want to admit that we need help. Or even we don't know how to ask for it. It's saying, I don't need God. I'll carry it myself. And the striking thing here is they saw Jesus in real life. They have seen what Jesus is doing. They have heard what he is offering. And they say, nope, I'm good. That's what Jesus means by the wise and understanding, not the people that know the most, but people who think they don't need God. The other response is to come like little children, wholly dependent upon God. And I think the thing that strikes me with this is I'm a grown adult, and I still call my parents for help. Dad, the laundry room is flooded. The drain is backed up. I don't even know where to begin. Like, what do I do? Mom, the cookies aren't tasting and looking like your cookies. What am I doing wrong? I need you to help me. Tell me what I'm doing. I haven't outgrown my dependency on my parents. And every time I call them, I'm admitting something. I'm admitting that I need help. The same is true with God. We never grow out of our dependency on him. And it takes us admitting, I don't have it figured out. The choice for us is to be wise and understanding, I don't need God. Or to come like little children, I need help. And those who come know something about themselves. They know they are weary and burdened, heavy laden. For some of you, this resonates right now. You know exactly what you're carrying. For others, life might feel pretty manageable right now. But Jesus' invitation is the same to all of us. It is about the way that we approach life. It's not just for the crisis moments. And I think that's the heart of the question. It's not whether you are burdened or not. It's whether you're willing to admit it. It's whether you're willing to let God into it. Because Jesus gives an invitation. But what is the invitation to? It's not an invitation to come to a religion or to come to this moral set of right and wrong or to come to a set of beliefs. It's to come to a person. The person of Jesus. And that matters because who he is determines everything about the invitation. Listen to this in verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 27, Jesus is claiming he alone knows the Father, and he is the only one who can reveal him. Jesus claims the authority. He claims the authority as King of heaven and earth. This is the person that is inviting you. It's an invitation to come to the incarnational God. Jesus is presenting himself as the access point to God. And so if we want to know what God looks like, we look at the person of Jesus and what he says about himself. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle, not harsh. Gentle towards weakness. There is kindness and compassion. He doesn't condemn us or demand more of us when we mess up. There's patience, there's presence. Lowly. Other versions use humble. He's not intimidating or distant. He's approachable. He draws close to us. And notice what he does with his authority. He doesn't wield it to crush us, to dominate us, to demand more of us. He uses that authority to care for us. This is the upside-down kingdom that Jesus has been showing us all throughout the book of Matthew. And I think this is where a lot of us struggle. Because we don't just carry things on our own. We assume that if we brought them to God, that they would get heavier. That he would be disappointed. That he would demand more of us. And so we stay where we are, stuck under the burden that we were never meant to carry. Jesus says that's not who he is. If he were harsh, the weary would stay away. But he is gentle and lowly. This is the person that we are invited to come to. And the only thing that keeps us from experiencing Jesus' love for us is our refusal to come to him. But if we do, he gives us life. Listen to this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another version, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That sounds nice, right? Rest. And we like to think that rest means the absence of activity. It's a quiet night in. I get an afternoon nap. I get to sleep in the morning. I get a break from work. I get a break from running kids to 1,000 different events and sports and all the things. I just get a break. But the rest that Jesus offers us is deeper than that. It's not about the absence of work. It's about regeneration. It's about renewal. It's about restoration. Notice, Jesus doesn't say that I'm going to take all your burdens away. He says, take my yoke upon you. Which, by the way, for those of you that don't know, like myself, this is what a yoke is. I'm a suburban kid, so cut me some slack. I didn't know what it was until I was way too old. I thought it was talking about eggs for the longest time. But it's a bar that connects two oxen. Generally, when they're trying to pull something, whether it's a cart or a plow. And the thing that I didn't know about yokes even till recently is that they're set up so that the stronger ox takes most of the weight. So it doesn't mean that there's an absence of burden. It's an exchange. Paul said last week that Jesus doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to follow him. It isn't that we won't have a burden in this life. If we are going to follow Jesus, we will have to face that. But the difference is, we have a yoke mate. We're not alone. We have someone who gives us the power to stand and thrive under his yoke. He's not just next to us. He is carrying all the things that we can't. Jesus did not come to weigh us down. He came to walk with us and lead us into the kind of life that we were made for. But many of us, we feel this tension. I feel this tension. I know Jesus is inviting me, but I feel like I have to fix myself. I feel like it's still on me. I just got to fix it. I just got to fix myself. I just got to fix my marriage. I just got to be a better parent. I just got to fix it. I just got to stop screwing up. I just got to. That's so tiresome. Thinking that I can fix myself. That's too much weight for me to carry. I will drop it. Some of you may remember my moment of coming to Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. I grew up learning what the Bible said, what was right and what was wrong. And then eventually, I decided to do what was right in my own eyes. I went against the Bible. I put myself above God. And it created this sense of shame in me. It created this sense that I'm not just doing something bad. I am bad. I was weary and burdened in my sin. It was crushing me. I wasn't just tired. I was carrying something that was weighing down my soul, and I didn't even know how to put it down. But here's the thing that I didn't grasp at the time. It was my sin that brought the very heart of Jesus to me. We sang a song in one of the chapels I was in one day, How He Loves. The lyrics, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. In that moment, all of the shame was swallowed up. Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It is light and easy. He says that we were never meant to carry those things by ourselves. He's telling us to put them down. It's not an absence of burden. It's an exchange. The burden of unforgiveness, of hate, of anger, of drink or drugs or shame or guilt or sin or judgment, Jesus is saying, put it down. You were never meant to carry it. Take my yoke upon you. It is light, and my burden is easy. It is the way of life. This rest is not something that we have to earn. Dane Ortlund puts it in his book, Gentle and Lowly, like this. You don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. No payment is required. He says, I will give you rest. His rest is a gift, not a transaction. This is the heart of our gentle and lowly Jesus. He draws close to us in our weakness. He takes our burdens off us and leads us into a new way to be human. And I want to ask you something this morning. What are you carrying right now that you were never meant to carry? For some of you, you know exactly what that is. And it's been weighing you down for a while. For some of you, life might feel pretty manageable right now, but maybe you're still trying to carry it all by yourself. Jesus' invitation is the same for all of us. Come to me. Not fix yourself. Come to me. Maybe it starts with just a simple prayer, admitting it and bringing it to Jesus. Jesus, this is what I'm carrying. I don't want to do it anymore. And then just sit with him. Because his rest is not something that we have to earn. It's something that we experience. It's something that we receive. In a few moments, Paul will come and lead us in communion. And before we get there, some logistics. We have six stations across the front. We invite you to come forward these side aisles here, and then you can return to your seats, the middle and the outside. When you come, you can choose to either serve yourself or be served. Simply come with your hands like this, and we will dip the bread in the juice and give it to you. All of our bread is gluten-free. The cups are grape juice, not wine. If you're unable to come forward, simply raise your hand and somebody will come to you. Why we celebrate communion, why we remember it, is because Jesus doesn't just invite us to bring our burdens to him. It's that he carries them for us. He took the weight of our sin on the cross. He took everything that we were never meant to carry. Would you pray with me? As we pray, I want to give you some moments to just sit with that prayer. Just start with that. To say, Jesus, this is what I'm carrying, and I don't want to do it anymore. You are good to us. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You have all the authority, and you, instead of crushing us or demanding more, you come and you serve us and you lift us up. You bring us into the way of life. Would we experience your heart? Would we experience more of you? Draw close to us and give us rest for our souls. Lift us up out of our burdens.
I invite you to please stand. Let's respond.